Welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And today's February 26th, year of our Lord, 2019.
Is it the year of our Lord? Is that, I thought it was Romans.
Are we supposed to say common era?
Who knows?
We used to say AD, but then
it's not BC, it's AC?
I think you're not AC, supposed DC? To say, you're not supposed to say Anno Domini, because that's like a religious reference,
exactly, right?
So now you say common era.
Religious reference. Every politician swears to God, and God bless the country.
Yeah.
I guess that's not religious anymore.
It's on the dollar, too. Yeah.
I know. All right. Let's not go there. Okay.
All right.
I'm thankful in my own way for things.
Yes.
I need a deity.
All right. So, let's see. So, yesterday was a long-awaited Cambridge City Council meeting.
Yeah, because they were going to take the vote on the treaty.
Right. The one issue that people have decided is sort of like the issue to organize around this year.
Yeah, or at least the beginning of this year.
Yeah, for the beginning
I'm
of
sure
this year.
I'm sure something else is going to happen.
Right. So it's like, you know, 2017 was the year of the bike, and now this will be the year of the tree, right?
Affordable housing overlay, that's...
I think as the year...
merge over and everything.
Yeah, as the year plays out.
Envision has to present soon, right? Whatever.
You know, I don't know actually how they're going to actually put that out there.
I think they snuck it all in and have left, no?
You know, even though I was on the advisory committee, honestly, I have no idea how they were actually unveiling it. No, no. They listed like this big laundry list of recommendations and things, mm-hmm. and then they had
and they
this,
had the presentation at the library.
They had the
that
little presentation
to.
There with the
well, it was more of a display,
phone cord display,
like a poster display.
But you know, at some point there has to be an actual report, you know.
Right. And I thought they said spring, so it's not spring.
Yeah, it's coming, yeah. And then with that will also be, I think, some kind of either. I don't know if they're actually planning to put in the zoning language of some of the proposals, or maybe do some sort of sample language that you
sample,
could use.
I don't think they put in, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is, I think there's always a little bit of fear within community development department to overstep the city council.
Exactly.
You know, you sort of have
so
to give them their due.
So it's suggested, recommended.
Yeah.
Which is mainly, that's what the consultants do.
Sure.
It's never, you know, this has got to be the way it is.
So I think that's certainly going to, how things are going to play out. And the current sort of fascination with the trees is probably going to dovetail into that to some degree, because already you're seeing the rhetoric. It says, well, if you build that Wheeler, was it the Wheeler Street
55
project?
Wheeler 55 Street Wheeler Street. Always used as a...
You know, and now there's some trees would have to come down.
Oh, that they have 40 trees in the courtyard
or
something? Yeah,
in the courtyard,
oh, so
right.
That hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's threats of all sorts of legal action to sort of block the project, right? So, yeah, so proposals for added density as part of, as an outgrowth of the Envision recommendations certainly will have to then contend with those who say, but if
that's
you cut
right.
down a tree, then
and then the affordable
no good,
housing
right?
is all that.
And then that will have
you know what's going under the radar?
What's that?
Is the whole zero waste thing that people are supposed to comment on by the end of a certain date.
Right. I saw the date the other day, and I didn't write
it
down.
It's in March.
So it's coming
soon.
Up. Yeah.
And, you know, that it's not, I mean, it's all good, but it's significant changes in trash limits and everything, and yet that's sort of...
Actually, and those are the type of things, I mean, I'm kind of reminded how we, back 20-something years ago, if you were a city council, you'd say, what city council committee would you like to chair? And everybody wanted to chair cable TV.
Oh.
Back then, because before the laws changed...
You didn't have internet then either.
That's right. But the thing is, if you were chair of the cable TV, you could promise people to deliver some goods. Like, we'll get you these channels or whatever.
Interesting.
And then, you know, the thing is there's always an advantage to serve on a committee where you can say we actually delivered the goods to somebody.
Because you know it's... Yeah,
right.
Okay.
But under the charter, planning charter, it's, city councilors are limited in what they can do. It's not like I can say... It's not like I'm chair of the employment committee and say, come to me and I'll dole out some jobs.
I see what you're saying.
You can't do that. But sometimes you can assist people find housing. Sometimes you can help people
out
of a jam.
You do constituent services.
You do constituent services. But nothing beats something kind of tangible. Like during the rent control years, like, oh, yeah, vote for me.
Oh, plastic bags.
Yeah.
So which a lot of people took credit for that really started with Henry Dade Davis, but I won't
Anyway. So people do like the tangible stuff. And honestly, everybody has to take out the garbage. Everybody has to put out the recycling.
I know, but I think the whole tree thing and bikes have sort of, the tree has overshadowed that.
Yeah, but the thing is this, I think some of the city councilors have pointed out, I think Denise Simmons probably above all, is that, you know, this may be a big, big flash and a controversy in certain quarters, but there's still probably the majority of residents have no idea.
Oh, Alana pointed that out pretty clearly last night, too.
And I think that's accurate.
Oh, yeah. No, and even I've met them. They're kind of like not you know, I mean, they're informed, but they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so this is really big in a very, very select activist quarter of the city.
But it's important, and I will not say that trees aren't important. Tree canopy, and I guess it's 18% since 2009. Is that right?
Yeah, but you know, the, you know, this.
There, but still.
All right, and then we'll tell you what happened last night, right? But
okay,
but the. There are a few things that are missing, and actually at least one person, I think it was Patrick the Barrett, may have mentioned
Patrick
this.
Patrick the Barrett?
You know, I've lost the ability to speak.
Go ahead.
It's a terrible thing.
What did he
reference? He just basically pointed out that, don't you think that, and I'm not going to say it in his words exactly, but don't you think that maybe before you start prohibiting this, that, and the other thing, there should have been a public relations campaign to basically encourage everybody to retain trees, to
in
plant
other words,
more trees.
Positive versus ban.
Right.
Which I know I've been against that for years.
Yeah.
I didn't like the plastic
here.
Bag.
Same
you
here.
Know, I feel like it's better to encourage reuse. Or I've been recycling plastic bags for 25 years, but you know, hey.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So to me, the one thing that's sort of fundamentally wrong about this is that I don't think anybody did any positive reinforcement at all. They just jumped immediately to the negative, right?
You can't do this.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, the, you know, they say, like, we've got to have to prevent tree loss by saying you can't cut down a tree in your yard, right? Okay, fine.
Well, for a year.
For a year, right. And then we'll see what comes out of it because maybe they'll establish rules that are even more stringent at the end of that. We don't really know. And it probably won't be for a year because, as Owen O'Riordan, Commissioner of Public Works, said, it's likely that the initial report from this task force
may actually be out
in 3 months. So,
true.
So we'll see what happens then. You know, but the thing is that when people said, oh my God, it's so alarming, there's been a, depending on what number you look at.
Is that 18% not right? I just saw that.
You know, some people say 18%, others have different numbers.
Less than that,
you know, it depends on how alarming you want to be,
true.
I guess. But the thing is that what's the cause of that? Is it just because evil developers are coming in chopping down lots of trees?
Is it dead trees?
Is it homeowners who are taking
down
a tree here and there?
Yesterday, do you know how many trees came down? Maybe not here, but a lot of places.
Wind damage, is it just trees aging out? You know, because a lot of them were planted during a certain period.
We all age out, hello.
And we're kind of, we're sort of in a phase right now where there's some reduction.
Yeah.
To what degree was the gigantic drought that we had just, was it 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could just go around town and see trees that had died as a result of that. So, to best of my knowledge, people are saying, okay, we've lost this much of the canopy, but I haven't seen anybody say why. You know,
it's
what's the actual? It is. It's definitely going to be a variety of reasons.
In other words, how many were deliberately cut down? Is that what you're trying to say?
Right. So how many were deliberately cut down? How many were
with permits? Because if they were large,
sure.
But still,
And you know, so anyway, there are lots of reasons that lead to this. So I guess the councilors were basically trying to do the one thing they thought they could have some control of, which is just say, don't cut down that tree.
Yeah. I mean, again, I've said this right next to where I'm living at my daughter's place. Six trees, or what, I don't know what kind they were cut down to make room for a driveway, and now you can see all the way into the next street.
Right.
And they, I don't know if they got a, they must have had a permit because they're
maybe,
renting.
Yeah.
But that's kind of unfortunate.
Sometimes you just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the thing is, if that's the sort of thing that were really they were trying to curtail.
Yeah, maybe to do it differently.
I get that. I would support that 100%.
Yeah.
You know. You know, if you're just doing it for reasons like that, you know, but you know, an outright ban, you know, I mean, I spoke at the meeting and I've spoken to, and I sent a letter to the ordinance committee about it, basically just using the example of my one silly little example of my one tree in my yard.
That you want to try to save, even though it could be deemed
I would, you know,
at risk.
My first choice is preserve the tree. Mm. But the thing is I have to take a third of it off anyway because it's leaning on the house.
Right.
And when I'm doing that, then I have to make some decisions. And honestly, if I have to do that only to have a year later,
have it fall down,
because the emerald ash borer says I have to take you down anyway.
Is that what it is? It's an emerald ash?
It's an ash tree, and the emerald ash borer is an insect that is
right. But do you know if in fact it's infected or? Whatever?
I don't know that it's infected, but the thing is I think the way it works because these are they fly. That
right.
Once
it's
at risk.
So you might be better off getting it down.
It might be. So that and that has been my whole point all along, which is that, you know, sometimes you have to make a difficult decision. And, you know, I don't want to have to, after making a difficult decision, paying somebody to do either heavy duty pruning or removal,
right. And then have to pay
and then have you know, one of some of these city councilors basically say, "Oh, you're a bad person."
But didn't they put an amendment about if you're owner occupied? It's a little different.
So the original proposal was ridiculous.
It was anybody,
right? So they did start putting in some exceptions and some refinement to it. For example, Councilor Mallon, at the ordinance committee, recommended a change to say that, well, if somebody moves a tree because they have many trees in a yard or multiple trees in a yard,
it gets a chance to grow,
and it's
and
for the
that.
Overall best health of the whole, then that should be permissible without having to pay some crazy fine.
I think maybe
based on what I said at the meeting, Councilor Kelly, in addition to putting an effective date of, I think, was it March?
March 15th?
It's either the 11th or the 19th. I think it's the 11th.
All right.
He also recommended, and it was approved, an amendment to say that an exception would be in the case where a tree is threatening an existing structure. So I think that kind of addresses
Makes
me, probably.
Sense. Yep.
You know,
or
but
your neighbor's structure.
Potentially, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, the reality is when you actually try and do this in practice, what does that actually mean? You sort of say, okay, I think this is threatening my structure. You go, oh, really? Well, we don't think so.
Well, who's we?
And then, well, let's say I just decided it's really threatening my structure.
Yeah, but who's the we that says I don't think so?
Well, the thing is, so they wanted you to bring in a certified arborist. So then what if the arborist says, I don't think so? Then you have a little bit of a dispute there.
So not the city arborist.
Well,
busy enough.
Well, there's also an issue about the city arborist and city staff aren't really allowed to go on to private
property.
Oh,
right. That was brought up. That's interesting.
Yeah.
What if you invite them?
Well, they could give you a kind of an unofficial report, I suppose. But, you know, and anyway, so they moved it on through. I guess I can live with
it. So it got passed. So what does that mean? Where does it go now?
So it's ordained. It's a municipal ordinance. This was not zoning. So this was...
Right. It was an addition to the... There's already a tree ordinance.
Right. So this is just an amendment.
Was there always a tree replacement fund? That's what I...
You know, I think there might have been, but...
Okay.
But the thing is that... I don't know...
diameter.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only time...
Did they lower it to 6 inches? They wanted to.
Well, the only time it really would get kicked in would be... you know, if there was something pretty egregious, I don't know how often that has been enforced over the years that's been in place.
Well, Owen spoke to that about enforcement and everything, too.
Yeah, it's a difficult enforcement anyway.
As much as people don't want to think so, if it's small enough, people will do, let their friend do it or someone who has a...
As the vote, I think it was either after the vote happened or whatever, I was talking to somebody from the mayor's office came out and was telling me, says, you know, and I said, well, yeah, but if I make a decision that I have to do this, which hopefully I don't have to, but the thing is I want to have that option.
Yeah.
And then the city says no, you know, and then, you know, and I said, but I'm just going to have to do this anyway because I
know what,
what's
Robert,
best.
I think you're going to be exempt.
I hope so. But
is that somebody trying
to
call us?
But then a person said, doesn't matter.
So don't try to call us. We do not answer. That light is okay.
So anyway, so somebody said, well, you can always sue the city. And I said, is that what it's coming down to?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I said, no, that offends me, actually.
Yeah.
The notion that if the city does something that's a little over the top, then your last recourse is, well, sue me, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, right? Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, in the end, they voted 7-2. With the multiply amended
Now, I know Toomey didn't vote. Who was the other
And
person?
Denise Simmons.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, but there is another funny, I don't know, funny, but there's another aspect to this, which I kind of was a little bothered by, which was that the mayor I think he wasn't wrong, but he was making a case that, you know, you're making this out as if this is the only crisis in the city. There are other crises in the city having to do with housing and whatever, you know.
That up, yeah.
And then basically just put him on notice saying, you know, like, you know, we've got it on tape, basically, that, you know, you've decided to vote that we're going to have this vote here because you decided that this is a crisis. And I heard that and I'm thinking, okay, in other words, we're getting things set up so that as this year progresses and
the election year, is that what you're talking
about? Well, no, when the affordable housing overlay stuff gets pushed in front of the city council, then you're going to hear the same words are going to come back and they're going to say,
this is a crisis.
Well, I voted for your tree thing because you said it was a crisis. Now, of course, you are obliged to vote for my overlay because that's a crisis.
God, why does it sound like it's the national emergency language?
You know, this is the problem.
I mean, I don't feel like it. All right, but we're, that's interesting.
You know, as a country and as a city, I think we're using the notion of crisis a little too freely.
Well, I don't think anyone used that word crisis.
No, well,
I mean, of the people that supported it. I mean, climate change and it's necessary, but you're right. I mean, they've been talking about it.
But they're behaving in a way where
if we don't do this, it's really dire.
And it's almost got to the point where it's almost like a religious issue to some. And like, so for example, and again, not to diverge too much into the Inman Square matter, but the thing is that, you know, if somebody, like, I think there's good cases to be made for maybe doing a different configuration to Inman Square than what the city is proposing.
Yes.
I think that's a totally reasonable thing to discuss. But and maybe, you know, would you prefer to not cut a few trees down? Maybe. But to make the case that somehow a couple of six trees in Inman Square is somehow going to have anything more than a negligible effect on anything is ridiculous.
Well, it's in the middle of a heat island. It's a heat island. I mean, but I understand. In the big scheme of things.
Yeah, in the big scheme of things, you know. So I think people are getting a little too infatuated with their own rhetoric these days.
Well,
you know, I think we got to do a little bit better. Actually, there was another outgrowth of this vote that I found kind of
outgrowth. How punny that is!
Isn't that? Yeah.
I'm looking for humor anywhere I can find it.
There we go. So there was another very minor little item on the agenda having to do with I think it was something on the table. Having to do with a curb cut on Vineyard Street.
There were lots of pages because I had the actual agenda on that.
Yeah.
I guess they had taken trees down in the backyard before.
Right. But so the thing they were waiting for an opinion from the city solicitor
about
whether in fact this particular tree, which was sort of straddling the private property, but also had grown into the public way,
right?
So that it was, you know, pushing out into the sidewalk.
And that's where they wanted a curb cut.
Yeah. So at least one of the city councilors said, "Well, now that it's partly on the sidewalk, then obviously the city has say in this." Right, and this is before they passed the moratorium, right? So, anyway, so in the interim, while they were waiting, apparently the property owner, developer, whatever it is, that person is, basically got an arborist in, came in, and said the tree is in decline, and had the tree taken out.
That actually was last week. They already had that letter. If you look at the date, I think.
Right, but
there were also other people that signed that they said they wanted that too. So
right. You know. So the thing is, but the tree, the point of whether the city had jurisdiction over the tree had become thoroughly moot at that point because there was no tree in it left.
But then they talked about, do they really need another curb cut? They already have one.
Right.
I guess they're trying to have two entrances. I don't know.
Right. But that wasn't
crazy. The main thing. They wanted the tree.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Nobody's really entitled to multiple curb cuts. You do have a right, as Councilor Carlone pointed out, to have access to your property.
Right.
All right. Does that mean I want a curb cut? You give me two curb cuts, give me another one. You know. Now I don't know that there's any guarantee of that.
Is this a developer or is this someone living in the house that's just renovating?
I don't really know, but I think they're turning a single into a two family or something like
that. Right? That's what it is.
But anyway,
there's a lot of attention paid to a personal family residence.
But there were three councilors who voted against granting the curb cut, two of which were very explicitly says, basically, I mean, in so many words, basically said, I'm mad because you cut the tree down and therefore
you cut other trees down.
You acted in bad faith, so there's no way I want to give you the curb cut.
And was it
Craig Kelly.
Craig Kelly voted against
person.
It. Oh, that's
well, basically, because I think his argument was, because he referred to the notion that you don't
do something before it's...
No. They said, it was Councilor Carlone just blanketly said you have a right to curb cut. Councilor Kelly says, actually, I don't think that's true. And he quoted something from 1996 solicitor opinion to the fact that you're not necessarily guaranteed that. You're permitted access to your property.
But I always thought you still have to apply for it.
You have to apply for it, but the thing is that if you deny it, it'll go to a court and you'll get it. So the issue here was, should you give them two curb cuts?
So the city council votes on curb cuts as a rule?
It's a ridiculous vestige of another day.
I thought it should be zoning and the building department, no?
There are a few things having to do with the public way where the council still has jurisdiction. Okay. I remember when Marjorie Decker was on the council, she proposed that ceding that authority and giving it to some of the city staff to basically adjudicate those matters.
Really, because I think it then gets too political.
Well, but see that now. I think that was a good idea. Thank you, Marjorie. However,
didn't get passed.
Why didn't it get passed? Because curb cuts are a way you can use to leverage things, to block things, whatever. And I think city councilors at the time didn't want to give up that little piece of leverage.
I feel it's a big waste of
time. Oh, it's a total waste of time, right? But, you know, what little power they have, I think they don't
little
want to give
power.
Up.
They seem to have a lot of it.
But you can pass ordinances, you can pass zoning, and you can hire a city manager and staff, and you can pass a budget. That's pretty much it, though.
Okay.
You know, and you can make speeches, you know, so so there's all right. that.
So anyway, that was sort of the main...
So that, I would say, was the main attraction. Mm-hmm. I will say that because I'm on so many listservs and other things and Facebook pages and whatever, the general alarm went out and said, everybody, you must show up at this meeting. You've got to speak here in favor of the moratorium, whatever. Yeah, the moratorium passed, but the truth is the number of people who actually showed up for it weren't that many.
What was Charles T.
It was the usual crowd, right? And so.
But again, a lot of them did show up last week on the 14th.
Right. And I, at no point am I, in no way am I going to somehow suppose what the general will of the people of the city of Cambridge are on this issue. But I don't think it's really on most people's radar. And actually, there's one particular twisting of truth that I saw that really irritated me. One person. I'll do the kindness of not naming the name.
Yeah, we don't.
But one person comes up and says, well, 7,000 people voted to save the trees as part of the participatory budget, you know, so the people of Cambridge have spoken.
7,000 out of how many people that could vote?
That's the point. The truth is that participatory budgeting,
10%.
It's a nice thing, but it is what we would call...
It's, again, the enlightened people that are interested in that.
In a statistical world, it's a voluntary response survey. Mm-hmm. Basically, you put out the word, you can rally people, say, hey, everybody, go vote for this. It's not an election. It's not a referendum. It's nothing even remotely like a referendum or an election.
Right, but it is, it is a gauge of
it's a gauge of the fact that there is something that some group of people care about.
The activists.
It's the activists, right. But then I would simply argue then that the argument the person is making is simply that the activists want it, so therefore you should do it. And I said, well, the activists aren't the only voices.
What was that, about planting trees?
It was about planting trees.
Okay, but I bet...
And so there's yet another ridiculous aspect. If you vote in favor of planting trees, you cannot conclude from that that those same people... are somehow fine the removal of a tree in somebody's yard.
Because now that
be
they know maybe on their own property they can't remove one, they may say, wait a minute, I didn't vote for that.
I'm all for if people voted for anything, it was how much they believe in the planting of trees.
In the positive, which is what Patrick was saying, and other people. And Alana, why don't we encourage positive behaviors?
Right. But this intellectual dishonesty. Yeah. Carries on.
To what we want the results to be.
Now, speaking of nature.
Nature? Whose nature? Personal?
Human? No. Human nature. Okay. No, I'm not going to bring human nature.
No, the environment.
The environment. All right. There was another nice piece from the city manager, basically asking you to be for approval, and it was, of course, given for an appropriation having to do with Magazine Beach improvements.
Right.
And I should say a continuation of Magazine Beach improvements. And I'm delighted when I see these things because...
it's wonderful. Magazine Beach partners, Kathy Susie, the board care.
It's the way government's supposed to ideally work, where you have interested citizens...
Working
with the city government.
And
who's
DCR, they're all working
DC
together.
DC and state government,
yep.
basically to come up with best outcomes.
You know, I like it down there.
I like it there, and it's only going to get better. And the fact that there's some sense of ownership of the place, it's not like decades ago when it was all but abandoned.
Well, it used to be the head of the Charles was the sort of down there was a big thing, and they got, so that was
good. So anyway, it's really nice to see things like that. So I thought that was definitely worth mentioning. I'm gonna say, let me say in the last couple minutes before we break here, one other thing probably doesn't deserve a whole much. There's actually a zoning petition was introduced. Which is basically...
Boarding house? No, accessory?
Right now, you know, leaf blowers are regulated in Cambridge. You can't
use them.
You know, how this gets cast as a zoning issue is beyond me.
You can only have certain zones you can do it?
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, so there's a petition in at last night's meeting basically calling for an outright ban of all leaf blowers.
I didn't catch that.
It's, again, not going to name names.
Okay,
but I got the real thing.
The
core of people are based on Berkeley Street, west of Harvard Square. And I think it's some of the same people who sort of were in favor of the regulation of leaf blowers. But, you know, it's one thing if we're talking about we don't like internal combustion engines or whatever, but an electric leaf blower, you know, where the noise level of it is absurdly low.
Are you talking about personal use or city use?
Personal use and city use.
Oh, okay.
See, there's already an exemption for city workers to use them in certain limited ways.
Okay.
And they're saying, well, they're just, those DPW workers are just going to have to learn other ways of doing it because we're upset. You know, and honestly, the arguments they were given, in terms of particulate matter, not really all that convincing. Yeah. You know, and honestly, if there was some dust and debris being kicked up, You wear a mask, just like when you work with plaster.
But they
work
only
in
did
building.
It in parks and things.
They really only do it in parks, you know. If anybody who is actually working in the area actually had some concern about it, they would, you know.
So it's more the dust and blowing versus the noise.
You know,
there's noise everywhere.
Honestly, I don't even know. The thing is, I think some people just want to ban stuff, you know.
And
anyways, Patrick Barrett was wonderful.
Yes.
And he says,
in his little slats that his mother gave.
Yeah, he was explaining how, you know, his...
There's nothing else will do.
His leaf blower was a gift from his parent, you know, and it's worth millions to him.
Yeah.
You know, he would never give it... I guess you could do the reverse,
like a big vacuum that would take it in.
Actually, sometimes you really do need a blower. You really do.
Okay.
So a little bit of both here.
All right. We'll continue.
So anyway, so that'll have to go through the whole process. So we'll have
a little fun with that in the months to come.
So
see you in the next segment in a few seconds.
That's right. We'll see you then on Cambridge Inside Out.
Yeah.